always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead content creator for Offside, lead Lakers content creator for Offside. And today on the show, we're going to be diving into trade season. It is upon us. The Lakers, you know, they have some things to clear up on their roster ahead of trade season. They made a roster decision, albeit a small one that doesn't really mean that much. However, I do think it's worth noting a potential reason for sending Dalton Connect down to the G League. So we'll talk about that. And, you know, we'll discuss how Giannis impacts the Lakers' trade season plans. We will talk about some of what I think their priorities should be, some of what I'm hearing that their priorities might be, all of that good stuff. And then, look, it is Monday. Normally, we would be recording this trade or this mailbag episode on a Sunday, but seeing as the Lakers played last night on a Sunday, we are now recording our mailbag on a Monday, which at least gives us the alliteration, I guess. So there you go. And so the way that this mailbag is going to work is for the next hour. So I began recording this at 3:40 my time. From now until 4:40 my time, I am going to be answering every single YouTube comment that is a question that I see. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be here in perpetuity answering every single YouTube question forever. It just means that while I am sitting here at my desk, I'm going to be answering every single YouTube comment that I see for the next hour. So get them in. Fire away. It could be about anything, by the way. Favorite holiday meal, what I'm going to be cooking for Christmas when I have everybody in here. Golf questions, TV questions, movie questions. I saw that they released the teaser trailer for the new Avengers movie leaked. So might have some thoughts on that if you guys want them. And obviously Lakers questions too. So let's go ahead and dive on in, and we'll start with some thoughts on trade season now that it's here upon us, and we'll see where the conversation goes from there. Quick reminder, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you guys are listening or watching this show. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel with your notifications turned on. If you guys are on Twitter, follow me there. Hit that follow button at Anthony Irwin LA. And then preferably head on over to youtube.com/@Lakers Lounge to find the show and video version there. Then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. But as I've been saying, I do not care. Wherever you get your podcast, whatever your preferred app might be, let it rip. Everybody has their choices. So the reason that trade season is now here is because as of this morning, just about 90% of the league is eligible to be traded now. Now, there are some players left over from this most recent offseason, depending on the raises that they got, who are not eligible to be traded right now. But outside of that, like, that does not, I believe, involve any of the Lakers that I know of. Maybe. I don't think so. No, I don't think it does. And then if, from a target standpoint, that might, there might be some players that are, they have to wait until mid-January to trade for those guys. But overall, for a few reasons. For, you know, not just the reason that I just talked about right there, as far as, you know, players literally being eligible to be traded, but also most every, I think every team now has crossed the 20 game threshold for the season. They've played at least 20 games. I'm just going to really quickly scan the standings and make absolutely sure of that. But I'm like, everybody, I believe, is at about 25 or so games. So yeah, let's see. Detroit 25, New York 25, Boston 25. Yeah, everybody is at least at like 23, 24, and then most teams are at 25 games played so far. And what that essentially means is everybody has, you know, as I've talked about it before, all these teams and organizations, they break their season into quadrants. Some teams do it by eights, right, where it's every 10 games. That's more for like coaching decisions and stuff like that. But for larger macro type decisions facing your roster, most teams wait for the quarter point of the season, because at that point, the thinking is, all right, we now have a decent data sample to make whatever decision that we feel like making. And even then, most teams are probably going to wait until like the 30 or 40 game mark, when you are closer to a third of the way through the season or half of the way through the season, especially in this league where so many teams are dealing with cap strains and injuries and all the stuff that are keeping guys out early on this season and impacting data samples there. Because of the eligibility from players, you know, that they can literally be traded, and also because of the timing thereof, this is when teams start having a lot more real conversations about their roster strengths, weaknesses, needs, play, you know, areas where they are over-indexed that they can spare to lose some talent. You know, trade assets, you looking around the league at, all right, which team is heading in which direction, which player might be available because of all of these things. And now the Lakers are just like those teams. They are having those conversations internally about how they feel about their team, and we will see kind of what comes of them and all of that good stuff. But that is why trade season, like when you see all of your favorite podcasts or when you hear all of your favorite podcasts talk about trade season, that is why. That today is the first day where teams are having more realistic conversations internally, and then they are having more productive conversations externally, just to see what markets might be looking like as we head into the trade season, which, by the way, first bullet point there on the right side of your screens is the biggest looming question. And Giannis basically acts as a backdrop to all of these decisions, because you have teams that are waiting to find out if they have a chance at him. You have teams that are waiting to find out if they can benefit from maybe not being on that list. You're going to see teams that are going to be looking to take advantage of the desperation that some of those teams on Giannis's list might show. Let's talk about Giannis. It's great. I love getting this text message. My kids had a sleepover with my niece over the weekend, and I get a text from Jen saying, "Hey, how's Avery feeling today? Shay has strep." Oh, fantastic. Missed Thanksgiving, and now we're risking strep over Christmas. Boom. I love having kids. Anyway, let's talk about Giannis. I talked about how he looms large over trade season and his decision, the will he, won't he make a stink and get out of Milwaukee as soon as he possibly can. That's basically going to dictate how this trade season is going to go. A couple weeks ago, we got that report that Giannis and his people were at some point going to have a conversation with the Milwaukee Bucks about the future of the Bucks and the future of Giannis with the Bucks and how are they going to turn things around. No reporting so far on whether or not that conversation has taken place or how it would go if that conversation were to take place. But, you know, we did get a report from Eric Nem, who covers the Milwaukee Bucks for The Athletic. And he's saying that Milwaukee is looking to make another splash move or another they're looking to add to their roster in an effort to convince Giannis to stick around. And we'll see how that goes. If they do pull off a trade and Giannis all of a sudden says, you know what, I want to be here for the rest of my career, or I am focused on being with the Bucks this season, and then he'll enter his free agency season next year. You know, we'll see, but I guess I don't really see the avenue that Milwaukee can take to improving their roster enough to, you know, convince Giannis, okay, yeah, this is the organization for me from now on. And quietly over the weekend, we got a report that like the Spurs and the Thunder and the Rockets are kind of exiting stage left of the Giannis sweepstakes. Makes sense from the Thunder's perspective, right? They won a championship without him and appear to be a better team now. So why mess with something that is clearly working? Makes a little less sense, but still some, that the Spurs would say, nah, yeah, we're good. You know, kind of want to see where this grows organically with Stephon Castle looking like a superstar. Eventually you have Dylan Harper, whose future is super bright. You have De'Aaron Fox, who seems to be the perfect acquisition for that team. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you have Victor Wembanyama, who is the most exciting prospect since LeBron. And if you're the Spurs, you're thinking, can we just see where this goes? Hold on to our stuff and see where we're at after the season. I kind of get it. Same time, it's like, if you compare Wemby with Giannis and basically make it so nobody scores in the paint, I would be intrigued by that. That's not really how the Spurs operate, but I mean, if you can go get Giannis and add him to a team that, like, yes, they are promising, but hasn't accomplished anything so far. Does that make a little bit of sense? I would say so, more so than OKC. And then for a team like Houston, you're already all in. What are you stopping yourself from here? Why are you? And now I get that the Suns are kind of the cautionary tale of becoming too all in and too focused on the now. But I would, you know, objectively correctly point out that acquiring Giannis to play with Kevin Durant and whoever is left over after acquiring Giannis is very different from pairing Devin Booker and Kevin Durant with Bradley Beal. Like that, those are very much apples to oranges. That's like apples to car tires in terms of the comparison. So if I'm Houston, you know, we'll see where this goes. I could see them maybe prioritizing a point guard first and then seeing what they're capable of now. But you're on the clock as it pertains to, you know, Kevin Durant, how long he's going to be playing at this level. And I just think Giannis fits really well with that identity of super long wings, skilled wings, defensive monsters, and rebounding monsters. And so, like, if I were Houston, I would definitely go all in on Giannis, but I guess they don't want to. And then, you know, you're looking at in the West, you know, I think Golden State will be in on Giannis. They have been waiting for Giannis to be made available for like years now. So it would be kind of weird if we finally arrived here and then Golden State's like, nah, we're good. We want to stick with Jonathan Kuminga. So Golden State, I think, will factor into this thing. I'm wondering if there's going to be kind of like a surprise team that is maybe not where their like rebuild or build up is maybe where it would like to be. And even if Giannis leaves at the end of next season, whatever assets that they give up, they were getting ready to move off of them anyway. And this way you have a year to convince Giannis to stick around. I don't know who that team would be. Maybe Portland with new ownership. Maybe Phoenix, although they were just in the star business. I think they might want to take a break from that one. And then we got to talk about the Lakers, right? Like the Lakers, they're looking at that situation with Giannis and they're waiting to find out which teams are eventually going to be on his list for preferred destinations. And usually the Lakers wind up on those players lists. And for the Lakers perspective, they have a ton of cap space that they can offer, to the Bucks this year, right? They could just send over Rui's expiring contract, Gabe's expiring contract, Kleba's expiring contract, and technically speaking, Austin's pseudo expiring contract. They could send over a couple of picks and maybe a dude Thero just to fully sweeten the pot there. And if Milwaukee basically decides, or if Giannis basically decides, I want to be a Laker and a Laker only, then that's how the Lakers would get involved here. And until they find out that that isn't the case, or that, you know, he definitely wants to stay in the Eastern Conference, or if he wants to go to the East Coast where it's a little easier to get to Greece, then, you know, up until that point, the Lakers are going to consider themselves in on Giannis. And we will see, you know, what they prioritize, how they go about balancing all of that out. First and foremost, the very first thing that we need here from Giannis is to stop being wishy-washy, stop with this whole like nice guy deal where he's trying to get out of Milwaukee, but also in a way that doesn't make him the bad guy. Like that just never plays out how superstars think it's going to play out. And, until that moment when he finally says, you know what? We won a championship together. We've been trying ever since to get back there, and we have only gotten worse as a result. You guys are asset starved. Your books are in hell. What if you guys trade me to, you know, basically declare NBA bankruptcy and move on? Maybe that's something that he and the Bucks kind of land on together. But yeah, overall, you're looking at a Lakers team here that I don't really think has much of a chance at Giannis right now, unless Giannis specifically says he wants to be a Laker. And then even then, I'm always nervous when a player tries to force himself somewhere, because the one thing that owners don't like to do by their employees is like be told, hey, you're going to send me here. You're going to do this. You're going to do right by me. I just think we have enough data sample at this point that indicates that, you know, if that eventually is how it plays out, it usually takes a while to get there, and it usually gets really, really ugly. And it also basically has to involve a superstar that is on the last year of their contract. And that's the leverage that is used to tell teams not to trade for that player, or else you're trading for a player who is immediately going to say, like, I don't want to be here. I'm ready to move on. So, for whatever it is that the Lakers are going to be looking to do. And, you know, I've been told that they are really focused on wings right now. They want two-way wings. They want to add some athletes to this team to help balance out the roster. Those are, you know, a few of their priorities. the Lakers are not going to be in the market for a starting level wing, at least not right now, and not until they find out one way or another on Giannis, if he is in on becoming a Laker or forcing his way to the Laker, then obviously the Lakers aren't going to trade a first round pick. And even so long as Giannis is not sure about whether or not he wants to be a Laker, the Lakers are going to hold on to any and all first round draft capital that they would otherwise send to Milwaukee, which kind of limits them as far as like how they can improve their team. And frankly, I said this to Kobe Price on the show earlier this week, or last week, I guess. I'm at the point here where I'm like, come on, Miami, get your shit together, trade for this guy, keep him in the East, let everybody move on so that the Lakers can acquire the type of like fifth starter that they actually need, rather than acquiring Giannis, having basically Giannis, Luka, and a bunch of cap flexibility, I guess, next year to work with. I would much rather see Giannis get traded to New York, to Miami. As long as it's in the East, Detroit is an interesting one. Orlando is an interesting one. Like, just keep him over there. Like, stay over there and get traded before this deadline and let everybody move on so that everybody can, or at least in this case, the Lakers, can refocus on taking advantage of this window that they have in front of them. All right. That is 20 minutes of me rambling about trade season, and I think that is enough of that. So I'm going to dive into the iTunes reviews here, and we have a couple of them. So Angel RS 042410 writes, is JJ a good coach? When will he look in the mirror and realize he is a big part of the problem? When will he realize you cannot play 8 to 9 guys and have a fresh squad in the NBA? So I've been thinking about this a lot, because a lot of teams are basically playing longer rotations. And the point of it is to, like, no matter who is on the court, you want that player playing at a 13 out of 10 in terms of intensity and give a bleep whenever they're out there. And some teams are actually pulling it off, right? Like the Grizzlies, while Ja Morant was out, they really embraced this identity and I thought had some real success. Now Ja is back. We'll see if they continue to go with that approach, or if they play more of like Ja Ball or something like that. Miami has been playing like this all year, where they just press and they run and guys play as hard as they possibly can for like 5 or 6 minutes. Then they get out of the game, and then somebody comes in to play as hard as that guy possibly can for the next five or so minutes. And then that guy gets tired and you go right back to somebody else, and you just keep going at teams in waves. And JJ is not really wired like that. And you kind of have to have a different roster than the Lakers do to be able to pull that off, because in those cases, you're looking at, you know, some of these rosters that are playing that style of basketball, and they have like 12 or 13 guys that they can play. And from the Lakers' perspective, you're looking at like Bronny isn't really an NBA player right now. Dalton Connect isn't really an NBA player right now. Maxi Kleba can't stay healthy, so I wouldn't really consider him much of an NBA player right now either. We already saw Jared Vanderbilt be excommunicated from the rotation at one point earlier this year. You have Adu Thiro, who is promising, but he is certainly a very far from a finished product as well. And what that leads you to is like 8 or 9 guys that JJ Redick, I think, feels comfortable playing. And until some of those guys either get healthy and stay healthy, or, you know, figure out how to play basketball at a higher level more consistently, JJ Redick is going to continue to stick with the 8 or 9 man rotation and, you know, maybe kind of forego some of the extra energy that a deeper rotation would maybe provide you. And as far as like, is JJ a good coach? I think that's a great question. And I would say he grades out at about above average, I would say. You know, I think he is a very strong communicator, both internally and externally, and I think there's value to both. I think he and his staff have made real strides forward this year in terms of some of the sets that they run. But we are once again, you know, looking at a Lakers team that like really oscillates between downright bad basketball, like we saw at the end of last night's game against Phoenix, and really good basketball that we saw in last night's game against Phoenix, where they opened up that 20-point lead or 20 what could have been a 22-point lead if Marcus Smart just makes a layup instead of throwing the ball behind his head for no reason. So, I think that given what he has been asked to do, JJ Redick has done a very good job when you consider the context. But we are also reaching a point here where like that disclaimer is gonna start wearing thin, because the Lakers have to maximize this window that they have in front of them, with Luka entering his prime, with Austin being this cheap, with LeBron still playing at a relatively high level. Like, the Lakers are going to have to figure out a way to optimize this this opportunity in front of them. And I think a big part of that is JJ Redick being a lot less dogmatic about some of the principles that he really believes in, right? Spacing, switching, like those two things, that they make up too big a percentage of the Lakers' identity. And I would hope that at some point here, JJ Redick kind of rethinks some of how he's, you know, the job he's done so far this season. Even though I think it's mostly good and nets out is very positive, there are some things that JJ Redick has done that has also provided a ceiling to the Lakers that they're going to have to crash through if they want to be legitimate contenders. All right, let's go ahead and answer this from Viva Exceptionalism. Anthony, or is Tony okay? You know what's funny? All right, so you guys know me obviously as Anthony. For one thing, very, very, very few people in my actual life call me Anthony, and zero people call me Tony. It's not that I don't like Tony. I'm not really all that particular about like how people talk, or not how people talk to me, but like what they call me in terms of my name. I've never really cared all that much. The only time that I would say I was very particular about like my name was, or I needed to go by a certain name, was in kindergarten, and it wound up sticking with me well beyond kindergarten. But I like Anthony was a long name for me to spell, so I just went with Fred, and that was, and now Frederick is my middle name, so like that's where it comes from. But vast majority of my friends and family and neighbors and stuff like that, they call me Fred, and I left Anthony to be a professional thing. And yeah, literally nobody in my life calls me Tony. And actually, the more I think about it, I don't really like the name Tony. It sounds very like Goodfellas. All right. So, agree that the starting unit should change, but that won't solve the Lakers' biggest problem: the lack of speed and athleticism. That lack begins with LeBron, then Rui, then Austin. So in a sense, Rich Paul is right, but are his comments hurting team chemistry because players will feel they're coming from LeBron? Also, don't see one move, even two, that will solve the issue so long as LeBron is playing 30-plus minutes a night. Better to wait until the offseason and he's off of the books. Great show as always. Thank you very much for the questions. So, one, I do think, now, I don't think it's actually impacting the Lakers' chemistry. I think the chemistry is a little too strong for this. But I think it's a really bad look for Rich Paul to have this show. And he just keeps saying stuff like, it's kind of the Patrick Beverley thing where producers and the people who are in charge of these shows recognize that maybe the best way to make sure that like your show goes viral and the clips that you grab from that show go viral, probably the best way to do that is to include the Lakers in the headline of those clips, which means that you get a lot of people talking about the Lakers. And in this case, you have Rich Paul talking about the Lakers as if he's just some random Joe Schmo who watches the Lakers a time or two a week. But no, like he has direct access to all of the interested parties here. And he has, I wouldn't say that he and LeBron have anywhere near the same input that they had before, but at one point they had a ton of input on this Lakers organization. And I don't know if part of the reason he's doing this is because he no longer has that amount of input anymore, but regardless, like on a lot of these off days, people go to like Rich Paul's podcast and they try to find something that they can aggregate from it. And, you know, they just say, if it says Rich Paul says this about the Lakers, what does this mean? Like as soon as you go there, that clip is going to be, is going to go viral. That clip is going to be, you know, make the rounds and we're going to wind up having to talk about it. And if I were Rich Paul and my top client was playing on a team that I am becoming a distraction for, I obviously don't think Rich is ever going to be fired by LeBron, but I also think Rich is kind of taking some stuff for granted that he probably shouldn't. So, no, I don't think it's impacting chemistry, but I do think it's a really dumb thing for Rich Paul to do. It's also like, how much money could you possibly be making here? Like, I don't see it, you know, I don't know. All right, so I'm going to scroll up to the top and I'm going to answer as many questions as I possibly can between now and the next 20 minutes. Small guy 6x2798, small guys writes, go tell the Lakers to do something. I'm bored. If I could, if I had that amount of power and input with the Lakers, I would guarantee you that the Lakers would definitely not be boring. Mike in Philly writes, we had a pod of orca in our local bay over the weekend. Should I have tried to swim with them? So the funniest thing about killer whales is there are no cases of them harming people in the wild. All of the cases where they have attacked somebody, you know, meaning their teeth are clamped around a person. Because there were those orcas in like the Spanish seas that were attacking boats. And I do think some people got hurt in some of those, but that was more because the boat sank than it was like the orcas literally hunting them. Like it's never happened. And it's the weirdest thing that probably the best hunter in the natural world, and like humans are not very good in water. Like that's some easy meals. And you would think that at some point, even accidentally, an orca would like take a nibble out of a person and just say, oops, sorry. And then kind of go on their way. Or like an older orca that was having trouble eating, you know, or hunting would, you know, see a person there and say, I mean, really hungry. But it hasn't happened. It's the craziest thing. The only time that they attack people is in captivity. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they're in captivity and they aren't meant to be in captivity. So, Mike in Philly, if you chose to go swimming with those orca, there's a decent chance that you would have had the experience of a lifetime and almost no chance that they would have turned around and done something to you. Now, I probably wouldn't like jump into the water on top of an orca and like try to startle it. Like that seems like a really dumb thing to do and frankly illegal. But overall, like if you happen to be in the water and you see a big shape like that and it winds up being an orca, you're safe. It's the craziest thing. It's part of why they're my favorite animal, is because it's just like at no point have they done that. And it makes no sense whatsoever that they haven't done that. You know, we've hunted them. You know, humans have hunted orca, but for some reason they just don't do it. It makes zero sense whatsoever. And they are much better than we are. Smitty 1335, realistic trade deadline deals for the Lakers to make us more competitive. I would say like a name that I've been told to keep on my radar is like Sadiq Bey. He's come up on this podcast a couple of times and I've asked about him and was told pretty definitively that like, yeah, he has some fans in the Lakers organization. So, you know, a player of that ilk is probably where they will start. And then, especially if like Giannis gets traded or he, you know, makes it known that he only wants to go to the East Coast and that the Lakers don't have a chance, in getting him, if that is how that plays out, then the Lakers would escalate their trade targets from there. But as it stands right now, you're probably looking at, you know, expiring money, a second round pick, maybe a pick swap, and you go out there and you see if you can bring in a wing that is around like Austin and Luka's age. And preferably that wing is an athlete who can shoot a little bit, maybe kind of a cast off kind of player. Those are the kinds of moves that I would say the Lakers are probably going to be focused on right now. And then as we get closer to the deadline and as we get closer to some kind of outcome with this Giannis stuff, then we'll talk about different targets at that point.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's see. Next question here comes from Storikian. Who do you think the Lakers would be the best case realistic trade target?
Best case. So I'm guessing in this case you have the Lakers giving up a first round pick, right? Because you're not getting a best case type player without trading a first round pick. Or maybe that I'll answer it with giving up a first round pick and without giving up a first round pick. With giving up a first round pick, I would say Herb Jones is probably best case scenario. And then without giving up a first round pick, I would say Keon Ellis is about as good as you can do without giving up a first. And Ellis might be stretching it a little bit because of how many teams like him. Maybe Terrence Mann is another guy. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is somebody who the Lakers are going to check in on. And I neither of Mann or KCP would cost you a first. So those are the types of names that you're kind of looking at there. And then again, once we get some kind of resolution with Giannis, then the Lakers will either pull the first round pick altogether in an effort to go out and get Giannis eventually, or they will find out that Giannis is only focused on the East Coast. And you know, they're at that point, they put a first round pick on the table and can get significantly better talent in doing so. Brad CYR 6071, projecting forward, the Lakers have two stars in their mid 20s for the future. But unlike Boston, Houston, San Antonio, and OKC, we don't have a bunch of assets. How can they keep up? It's a great question, and it's part of why I am always kind of reluctant to go so far off the handle and say, Rob Pelinka's the GOAT, as a lot of people in Lakers Twitter tend to want to do. I would say, like, how will they compete? How will they keep up? You know, they're going to rely on Lakers exceptionalism, and they're going to rely on the infrastructure that is going to be built under Mark Walters' watch. And they're going to maximize, you know, to a greater degree, the talent that they acquire compared to this point where, like, let's just say Dalton Connect gets drafted by a Mark Walter organization. I don't think Dalton would have fallen off of a cliff in the same way with a Mark Walter organization as he has with a Jeannie Buss organization. And that is one way that you can kind of catch back up to some of your competition, even while you have limited assets, is by making absolutely sure that your return in giving up those assets is absolutely maximized. So that's one way. The other way is, you know, how close is Luka to those types of players that you're talking about, you know, and if Luka is ever able to become the best player in the league, then that's the grand equalizer, at least for a little while the Lakers kind of build up their infrastructure. So I would say, first and foremost, the number one way that I think the Lakers will be able to catch up is by trading Jeannie's stewardship for Mark Walters' stewardship. And I think that is a huge wild card here that probably leans heavily in the Lakers' favor. And then from there, it's just, you know, whenever you do use draft capital on stuff, don't let that return walk out the door for nothing. Dorian Finney-Smith comes to mind. Jordan Goodwin comes to mind. So on and so forth. And you know, we'll see how successfully the Lakers are able to do that. Happy holidays, Anthony. Thank you for all you do. Thank you very much, Young Sweet Jones 93. Christian Navarro 8295. Rui, Gabe, Maxi, and Dalton are the most expendable, right? Rui is complicated, I would say, because he has some real fans up at the top of the Lakers organization. But the other guys mentioned here, Gabe. I know that the Lakers as a team and, you know, coaching staff, all that stuff, really, really like Gabe. As I said last night, I think he might be addition by subtraction, just in that I think he is used too much. And if they were able to turn him into a player who is more realistically utilized, then that would help the Lakers quite a bit. Maxi, Dalton, you know, Maxi's just an expiring contract. Dalton has money on the books for next season too. But he's young enough and at one point flash enough talent that maybe some team convinces itself that, you know, he is worth taking a flyer on. I actually think, you know, it's the Lakers announced that Adu Thiro and Dalton Connect are going to be assigned to the South Bay Lakers. They just announced that before I went live. And I really think a big part of why they're doing that with Dalton is to show, you know, Dalton is going to play basically all of the G League is affiliated with some NBA team. And so Dalton is basically going to be taken on like a tour or made available to all of these teams and like, hey, look at this guy. And I think the G League is a playing style that lends itself really well to Dalton's game. And I think the hope will be that by getting Dalton some minutes down there with the G League, that some franchise basically goes like, man, you really can't get anything out of this guy? And maybe becomes more open to Dalton being seen as a net neutral or maybe slightly net positive asset. Whereas like right now, he's pretty deep in the negative asset range. Next question here comes from David Saucedo, 4897. You would have to give up Luka. The Bucks would be a fool to give him up for anything less. You know, you don't have to give up Luka to get Giannis. No, not especially not if Giannis is still intent on being traded. Like there's no way that the Lakers would have to trade Luka. I might even go so far as to say that there might be a way to get Giannis without Reeves. And that is certainly going to be what the Lakers, you know, that's their first not priority, but their first, you know, conversation that they have with Milwaukee is like, all right, what would it take to get Giannis? Can we get Giannis without Reeves? It will be the second follow-up question, and we'll see how that plays out. But as it stands right now, I would say that you know, I would be absolutely gobsmacked if the Lakers needed to include Luka to get Giannis. That is never how these things go. Hell, I remember when the Lakers traded Shaq, and Shaq was pretty freaking good when they traded him. Eventually won a championship with Miami. But when the Lakers traded Shaq, they called, you know, Miami called and they were like, all right, you guys want Shaq? We really like this Dwayne Wade kid that you guys have. And Pat Riley was like, you can keep liking him, but you're not getting him. Can we interest you in a mildly used Lamar Odom? And Odom wound up being the centerpiece of that trade. And that is oftentimes how these things go. The Lakers had to trade Shaq. The Bucks, if Giannis goes to them and says like, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, they would then be operating from a point of little leverage. And, you know, no matter who trades for Giannis, they aren't giving up their best player for him. Let's see. Next question comes from Christian Navarro. The Bucks lost by 30 yesterday. Yeah, they're a mess. Absolute mess. Appetizers and sushi. We need to make trades around the margins. We have enough star power on our team. Yeah, that's why I like the Sadiq Bey play quite a bit. You know, he's like 6'7", chiseled athlete, high motor dude. That's somebody who I've kind of talked myself into. And yeah, I don't know. Like, cause the next question here is from Christian Serafin. Waiting on Giannis is so dumb. I agree. Like waiting on Giannis has legitimately cost the Golden State Warriors a significant amount of Steph Curry's prime. And you know, waiting on not just Giannis, but then also they compounded that problem by waiting on all of those like second timeline guys to pop, and none of them really have popped, right? James Wiseman, basically a bust out of the league almost altogether. Moses Moody has shown some flashes here and there, but really not the solid player that they thought he could maybe be. Obviously, Jonathan Kuminga, you know, they're just counting down the days until they can trade him. Just because of the mess that he and that relationship with him and that team has become. So, you know, the Warriors have waited for Giannis for the amount that they have and have nothing at all to show for it. And I would prefer that the Lakers use the Warriors as a cautionary tale and just focus on surrounding LeBron and Austin and Luka with, you know, decent athletes who can also finish a little bit, get after it defensively. That's what I would be focused on, not Giannis so much. All right. Let's see. I think I'm going to call it here in a second. We do have a ton of questions though. So I'm going to try to rapid fire here. Ready? Dark Galaxy 9936, they could only offer one first round pick. Their swaps aren't worth a lot. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the case with anybody who is acquiring a Giannis or acquired a Luka. At one point, Lakers pick swaps were seen as really, really valuable. Just like all of the Lakers' future draft capital was seen as really valuable. then you trade for Luka Doncic and raise your floor to an extent where a lot of that draft capital is no longer as valuable. And it makes it so that you really wasted a lot of those opportunities, you know, drafting a Jalen Huccifino or drafting a Dalton Connect, when you probably should have just traded those picks back when teams wanted your picks from however far out. Camaso one, if the Bucks make the significant trade, do you think the Lakers keep their picks until summer in hoping that the trade doesn't work? Man, I hope not. Like, I'm just gonna be honest. I want nothing to do with waiting on Giannis Antetokounmpo and basically skipping out on the opportunity that sits right there in front of them now. Because frankly, not a lot that I've heard is like would make me super optimistic that the Lakers would be able to get this guy. And I actually think if the Lakers, you know, let's say the Knicks find out that the list is still just them and they have to find a way to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that requires expiring money and that requires first round draft capital and stuff like that. If I'm the Lakers, and I guarantee you the San Antonio Spurs or the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to, you know, call up whoever is pulling off that Giannis trade. And they're going to say, like, all right, how can we help? How can we grease the wheels here to help you guys pull this off? By the way, it's going to cost a shit ton because we know what you have riding on figuring out a trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I would like for the Lakers to see if they can duck in and take advantage of some of the desperation surrounding this entire deal. That just isn't really how they have ever operated, though. So I think hubris might get in the way there. Let's see. If DK is the salary piece at the deadline, would you go for a low key 3-and-D wing like Jacoby Walker or Josh Green or someone like Obi Toppin? I'm big on Obi's fit. I don't think Obi is going anywhere. I think they really, really like him in Indiana, and they don't want to completely reinvent that roster while Haliburton is out. So I don't think Obi is going to be available. Josh Green is somebody, is an interesting name there. He played with Luka at one point before, has the tools to be a really good defender. I can kind of see a path to him being a good NBA player. Jacoby Walker, like any player who has Kobe in their name, that guy should be on your radar for the Lakers, just as a general rule. Oop. Next question here comes from Giannis said he wants a big market contender in a sunny state. Yeah, I saw that Chris Haynes thing. Chris Haynes has been all over the story. Giannis is talking to him and only him specifically. So that has made Haynes he's always a must follow anyway, but he for damn sure is a must follow while he's keeping an eye on this deal. I don't know. I just think the Heat make the most sense when it comes to boxes that they can check for Giannis. No, I don't think they can put together the best draft haul of any of the teams unless they include Khalil Ware, which they have been kind of reluctant to do to this point. And then on top of it, like Miami as a city has a nice climate. It's maybe one of the most beautiful cities in the country. And you're already on the East Coast, which makes it a nice, easier flight to Greece from where they're at. So yeah, if I had to guess where Giannis winds up, I would probably say Miami. The problem with Miami though, is as I've been talking about now for a while, their front office isn't necessarily on the same page, and it makes it really difficult to trade for a guy like Giannis when not everybody is seeing fully eye to eye. Um, I think that's going to do it. Whoa, man. We have a... Yeah, yeah. All right. I'll answer one more. Syscall 2831, why did it feel like we didn't care too much about the first when trading for Mark Williams, but now we want a bona fide championship move? The difference is Giannis, I would say. That would be, you know, the biggest difference is that, you know, Giannis is going to be available, and that the Lakers feel like they have a chance on Giannis. And until they find out they don't, that bar for trading a first round pick is going to remain really, really high. All right. It's funny just hearing Jen, like, say, hey, how's Avery feeling? I already feel myself getting more congested over the course of the show. God, I better not get freaking sick. That would be such a bummer. But I already kind of feel it in my throat and I feel like I'm plugging up. So I'm going to go ahead and take some meds and see if I can get out ahead of this thing. So thank you everybody for your questions. This was really, really fun. A reminder, hit me with questions in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes, and that is the best way to get your topic covered on the show. Again, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.